I don't know about you, but I often have an odd emotional experience on Christmas afternoon, you know, when the Christmas celebration is kind of coming to its end, and I guess it's somewhere between fatigue and relief and maybe a little bit of sadness, kind of a Yuletide melancholy, something like that. You know, we anticipate Christmas for so long, right? The four Sundays of Advent, the decorations, the lights, the trees, the gifts, all the busyness, all the happiness, all the stress of the season go together. And then finally, Christmas Day arrives, and we open presents, and we rejoice in good things, and then it's over, right? It suddenly comes to an end, all that waiting, all of the anticipation, and then suddenly it's over until next year. And that's when the odd feeling sort of settles in. I start thinking about, oh, now we got to take down the tree, got to put away all the decorations, got to go outside when it's much colder to take down the lights. You know, you put them up in November, and oh, it's so nice out here, and then by January it's freezing outside. Now we've got to go out and undecorate everything, and so that's sort of how the Christmas season comes to an end. But before we fully leave the Christmas season behind today, I want us to return to the manger. I want us to take one last look at baby Jesus this morning and the people who were around Jesus after his birth. We still have our nativity scene here on the altar table, and maybe you have yours at home. And I want us to think a little bit about those people who gathered around Jesus. Now, our nativities take a little bit of creative license because it's likely that they didn't all show up at the same time, right? The shepherds and the magi and the angels and all the people that we like to imagine there. In fact, the magi probably didn't arrive for several weeks, maybe as much as 2 years later before they finally got there, following the star. We heard that story earlier in the service. The biblical accounts don't really put everybody there all at the same time. But the nativity scene does draw our attention to the important people in the Christmas story, and most importantly, focuses our attention on where everyone in the nativity is looking, which is on baby Jesus. So listen to how Luke describes this scene. This is sort of the end of the story that we read on Christmas Eve. But Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 15. When the angels had left them, that is the shepherds, and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. These verses don't mention everyone in our nativity. The angels, of course, were out in the fields. Maybe they were there, but not visible above Jesus, sleeping in the manger. And again, the Magi didn't arrive for some time. But each of the characters in that story, each of the characters that we imagine showing up to worship Jesus, teach us something about what it means to honor Jesus. Teach us something about how we live out our faith and devotion to our Lord. Not just at Christmas, but all through the year. And so let's start with the angels, that host of angels who appeared to the shepherds in the fields outside of Bethlehem, somewhere out there, and the angels appeared in the sky with their glad tidings. With the angels, we praise God for his glory. The angels sang above the shepherds, "Glory to God in the highest heavens, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." There are lots of ways that we can praise God. This morning, we're doing what's known as corporate worship, right? We gather together to worship. We sing our songs. We lift up our prayers. We listen or preach a sermon. We corporately, together, share not just fellowship, but we worship. We praise God together. But you can also worship privately. There are also personal ways to worship. When you pray, you're worshiping. Anytime you declare something in your prayers about who God is and the good things that He does for you, that's a form of worship. You can worship by listening to, or maybe some of us, by singing along with worship music privately at home, just through your earbuds. You can worship even if no one else knows what you're doing. Some people like to write poetry. It's a way to worship God. Some people like to create art as a way to worship God. Maybe you enjoy walking through the woods to enjoy God's creation, to thank Him for what He's given us in this beautiful world. It's another way to worship God for His glory. Jesus told His disciples that if you love Me, you will obey My teaching. So one of the ways that we can show love to God is by being obedient to Him, by following God's word, by living a good life, by loving our neighbors, by doing those things that God has asked us to do. We can also praise God by telling His story, by sharing our faith, by sharing with others God's word. And there's so many different ways to do that. You might get nervous, oh, I don't want to go and talk to my neighbor about Jesus, but maybe through Facebook, maybe through an email, maybe by inviting them to church. There are many ways that we can share God's love with our friends, with our family, with our neighbors, even with people that we've just met. In fact, you can multiply your praise if you invite someone to church, or now through our technology, if you share our worship service with someone and they end up worshiping along with our worship service, you've now multiplied the praise that you can give God. And God deserves all our praise because He is gracious, He is glorious, God is powerful over our lives, but He's also a God who gives us peace. He's great, He's good, He's merciful, He's mighty. God deserves all of our praise. So then we turn to the shepherds. We may have sort of nostalgic, warm feelings for the shepherds. We think of them as the kind, gentle, wise people who came to worship Jesus. But you know, in Bible times, shepherds were sort of the forgotten, anonymous working men out in the fields that most people never spent any time around. They were probably not very sociable sorts of people. Even in Luke's account, where the shepherds figure prominently, we don't learn any of their names. We don't really know who these people were. But we do learn something about their hearts and about their excitement at the Savior's birth. They were the first to run off and find the baby Jesus. And then they ran off to tell everybody else what they had heard from the angels and what they had seen there at the manger. So with the shepherds, we spread the word about Jesus. You could say that those anonymous shepherds were the first evangelists of the Christian age. They were the first to tell anybody that Jesus had been born. Of course, they were told by the angels. That doesn't quite count. But the shepherds became the first to share the good news. And now that's our calling, isn't it? That's now the mission of the church. We are now the people who share God's love and the message, the story about Jesus. We tell people about Jesus' birth. We tell people about all that He did in His ministry. We tell about His death and resurrection, about how Jesus became our Savior. The most important thing that we learn from the shepherds, I think, is their excitement. their joy. They were so overwhelmed with what they heard from the angels out in the fields that they left their sheep and they headed in and they searched around until they found, probably in the outskirts of Bethlehem, a little stable. And there inside, the mother and the father and the little baby in the manger. And they were so excited by what they saw, that what the angels had told them, it's now true. And so then they went in their joy to tell other people about the Savior. And I think we need to learn from that excitement. They said, let's go and see this thing that's happened. And I think we need to recapture some of that excitement in our own faith. That we want to share the news, that we want to invite others to come and see the wonderful things that we have found, to come and meet Jesus. Our joy in knowing Jesus, our sincere faith should be contagious. It should be, it's probably the wrong word to use in 2020, but it should be infectious. Right? It shouldn't be contained, because what we have found has changed our lives in such profound ways that now we want to share that with others so their lives can be changed as well, because we've found the Savior. And He's still waiting for others to come and find Him as well. Our next group gathered around the manger aren't really mentioned by Luke, but we can be safe to assume that there were animals present, right? After all, a manger where Jesus spent His first night, maybe His second night as well, we don't really know, but a manger is a feeding trough. It was probably a large piece of stone that someone carved out a hollow, kind of a bowl shape in it, where they could put the animals' food or maybe even their water. And you can imagine Mary and Joseph there, no room in the inn. And so the baby is born out in this stable area. And where are we going to put our child? And they clean out the manger. And that's where Jesus slept His first night. And so we imagine there were probably also gathered around Jesus, maybe some cows, maybe some camels, some donkeys, some sheep. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 3, you've probably not noticed this. I didn't know it until I started doing a little research. You know, in some of our Christmas songs, we say a bad word every Christmas season. Our family always laughs about this. I'm not going to say it. But the donkeys, right, and the ox figure prominently. It comes from this verse in Isaiah 1, verse 3, that prophesies about the ox and the donkey who recognize their master's manger. And so we imagine the ox and the donkey there around Jesus. So with the animals, we welcome Jesus into our homes, which is what the animals must have done that day. No room in the inn among the people for Mary and Joseph and Jesus. And so it was the animals who allowed that holy family to find lodgings their first night. And now we make room for Jesus in our hearts, and hopefully also in our homes. And we invite Him into those personal, private parts of our lives that are often reserved for family or friends or those closest to us. And I hope that Jesus is there at the center of your home. So when people come in and spend time with you, whether they're family or friends or neighbors, that they know that there in your home is a place where Jesus is welcome. So the animals also. So the humble shepherds, the lowly animals, but then we turn to the Magi. We heard the Magi's story from Matthew's gospel earlier in the service. The wise men who traveled from the east following the star, made their way eventually to, I guess they stopped in Jerusalem, but they knew they were headed a little farther to Bethlehem. They may have arrived within a few days of Jesus' birth. Maybe they arrived, we sort of think of it this way, that they followed the star and they arrived at just the right moment. That's possible, but as you read through Matthew's account, it appears that they probably arrived several months or maybe up to 2 years after he was born. But we still put them there in the nativity scene. And the Magi brought to Jesus gifts, right? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh, kingly gifts for a little baby. So with the Magi, we bring Jesus our best. We bring Jesus valuable gifts. We bring Jesus things that are costly to give. Now, you might think first about that, that it's a financial gift. And yes, that's part of what we offer to Jesus. We support the church and missionaries and other Christian ministries through our giving, and those are valuable gifts that enable the ministry of God's kingdom. But we also bring other gifts to Jesus. We bring our devotion, our praise, our worship. This is a gift that we're giving to him this morning, even the time that we set aside to worship him. We bring him our service, our obedience. We bring him the work that we do for the church, but also the ways that we serve God out in the community and when we go to work or spend time with family, the things that we do to honor Jesus in front of other people. Those are gifts. It's also what we do for people in need. You remember Jesus' words from late in his ministry in Matthew chapter 25. Jesus tells the story about the sheep and the goats, and in the midst of that, he says this, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." So the service that we give to those in need is a way that we honor Jesus, a way that we bring a gift to him. So maybe you're starting to think about a New Year's resolution, something that you can accomplish in the year ahead, maybe things that you were more difficult to do in 2020, and as the year gets better and the days to come, maybe some new resolutions. So what can you bring Jesus in the new year? How can you bring him your best? What gifts can you bring him to show him your devotion in the days ahead? Last, we turn to Jesus' earthly parents, and we'll begin with Joseph. Joseph plays sort of a smaller role in the Christmas story. Joseph was not the star of the show. Joseph was sort of there to support Mary. He was there to protect Jesus. What we remember most about Joseph, though, was his willingness to serve and his humble heart. And so with Joseph, we humble ourselves to serve God. None of us is the star of the show either. And I hope as you look at your life, you are okay with that, because we're just anonymous people, right? In the midst of the big things in this world, none of us are famous. We're not powerful. We're not influential in the larger world. But God still asks each of us to serve his purposes. He calls you to honor and obey him by loving your family, by serving at the church, by praying for people in need, by showing compassion to your neighbors. Think about the little things that you do that are done in honor to Jesus, that humble way of serving, like Joseph was willing to do what God asked him to do. So are you willing to be like Joseph? Are you ready to do what God asks you to do, even if you don't understand all of it? And Joseph certainly didn't understand. This woman he was about to marry is suddenly carrying a child that has been placed in her womb by the Holy Spirit, and an angel tells Joseph this plan, but he's got to accept what God has said, and he doesn't really understand where all this is going, but he said, "Yes, I'm willing. I'm willing to do what God has asked me to do." Are you willing to play that small role, whatever it is, that supporting role that can allow Jesus to remain at the center. And then finally, there's Mary. Mary, whose faith and strength and willing spirit were used by God to enable, to bring about the birth of Jesus. You know, Mary's really the only one who saw all of it. She was there from the very beginning and saw Jesus' birth, experienced it in a way no one else did, obviously. But she was also there all through Jesus' life, even there at the cross to witness her son die. She saw him after the resurrection. She was there, whether she witnessed his ascension or not, we're not quite sure, but she was there on Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came. Mary saw the whole life of Jesus from beginning to end. And what stands out most, I think, about Mary in Luke chapter 2 is verse 19, where it says, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And so with Mary, we ponder God's grace that came through Jesus Christ. We don't use that word very often, but I hope you do ponder. At least a little bit every day, ponder God's grace. To ponder means to think, to think deeply, to consider something deeply in your heart. It says Mary pondered in her heart. She took it all in, all that she saw and heard, all that she was experiencing, and she allowed it to sink deep down into her soul, down into her heart. I hope you take time each day to ponder God and His goodness and His grace, and to ponder Jesus and what He did for you to be your Savior, and to ponder the Holy Spirit, who is now God's active presence living in your heart, to ponder God's Word and the message that He's speaking to you, and the way His Word can go out into the world and change lives. So today we ponder the nativity scene. We ponder those people and animals and angels, all those who surrounded Jesus. And in the afterglow of Christmas, we keep our focus on Jesus, who is our Savior. He's at the center of all that we do, of all that we believe. And in the days ahead, I hope that you will bring Him your praise, your service, your obedience, your devotion, your faith, your love. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You for the Christmas story, for the joy that we've had this season in remembering Jesus coming into the world and how He came to live among us and to teach and to lead and then to die and rise again, how He became our Savior. Lord, we thank You for Your love for us. Father, help us to keep Jesus at the center of our hearts today and in the year ahead. Help us, Lord, to serve, to worship, to lift up to You all that we are. Help us, Lord, to give of ourselves to bring honor to Jesus. Lord, we thank You for Your grace. We thank You for the good news that we find in Your Word. And I pray that You would walk with us in all that we face in the year ahead. Lord, give us strength and courage and hope. Use us to serve Your purposes and to share Your good news. And Lord, we ask Your blessing over our church. Father, help us to be faithful to fulfill the mission that You've given us, to continue to worship and fellowship together, to continue to share Your love and the good news of Jesus with one another and also with the community around us. Lord, we thank You for Your grace. And we ask these things in our Savior's name. Amen.